are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove. Good afternoon and welcome back to another motivating, another inspiring, and another empowering episode of Dovetails. Perhaps on a previous Sunday, you have tuned into our program, which delights in unpacking the tales, the testimonies, the ups and downs, the bitter and the oh-so-sweet and tender moments of the tumultuous Christian journey. The walk is not about perfection, folks, but what God promises is meeting our impossible with His possible. You see, there is a misunderstanding, a misconception regarding the mindset of the Christian walk. Today, being a Christian, as C.S. Lewis describes in his wonderful book, I recommend it highly, Mere Christianity. You know, being a Christian, it just must be explained, because during the rise of the early church in biblical days, Christianity meant a believer, a follower, and a disciple of the risen Jesus Christ. You can imagine in biblical times, it wasn't very popular to believe in a man that was crucified on the cross. It wasn't popular to believe in anyone who believed that death couldn't hold Jesus, and that in this belief they would not die, but have eternal life. A Christian believes in the deity of Christ, his bodily resurrection, and his second coming. But today, sadly, some onlookers and even some Christians believe that being a Christian means I am perfect. I'm perfect without fault or blemish. Today, being a Christian seems to portray one is good or even better than others. This mindset is far from the truth, folks, far from the truth. For as a believer, I personally see more of my blemishes and more of my faults and more of my fallible ways. You see, it's in union with Christ that one is seen as righteous, but you are not righteous, not one of us. This, my friends, is what Dovetails is all about, the bitter and sweet moments of this Christian walk as one allows the work of the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth, God's will for their lives, because in our hearts we have chosen to surrender to His will and abandon our own. So if this is the first time tuning in to Dovetails, I pray you like what you hear and are left hungry for more. Welcome to our program. I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry which highlights random acts of kindness along with training and tracking the Word of God while bringing it into the ear of the listener. If interested in joining the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to read the Sunday devotionals, thought-provoking articles, and highlighted ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a special treat today because we are in our third broadcast in our six-month series on separation and divorce with my co-host, the lovely Rachel Kidder, and we have a special guest today, Tiffany Lene. For the next 4 months, and I say four because we decided to extend it a little bit, hope you don't mind, Dovetails is dedicating one show a month to unpack and discuss with you about your pain and your experiences, along with our own, regarding the horrible dismemberment of being separated or divorced. Folks, we want you to call in and share your stories, your comments, and questions by dialing 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on the air. Each episode will build to the next and be different from the previous discussion. Well, today's discussion will evolve around what one feels when initially going through what I like to call the limbo stage. Perhaps you are experiencing this right now, and as you ask yourself, where do I go from here? Many of you listening today had your spouse at the center of your life, and now with them gone, it is replaced with grief, revenge, negative thinking, pride, struggle, lack of joy, peace, while still in pain. Sadly, the emotional instability during this time can cripple everyone, making anyone ask, what's happening to me? Well, today, my co-host Rachel Kidder and guest Tiffany Lene and I will discuss what we went through when we were in limbo. But we will also go through steps to take when creating a solid center in one's life, rather than base our happiness and stability on things which can suddenly disappear. So I want you to sit back and relax as we dissect what the barriers are, the obstacles and strongholds placing distance between us and Christ, while giving you the tools to place in your toolbox in order to break those barriers, find your healing, take back your peace, and reclaim your balance in Christ. So if you're wondering, where do I go from here? Hang out with us and find out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
This is Catherine Hughes, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Hello, and welcome back to our third show of our six-month series discussing, really unpacking, separation and divorce. My guest, Tiffany Monet, and co-host Rachel Kidder, we welcome you so much to Dovetails. Each one of us will be sharing our tremendous testimony. And it's wonderful that Rachel and I, after her testimony, we decided to just sort of pair up and figure out how we can do this series on something that almost crippled us and almost took both of us down. The series is based on the heartache we both experienced individually. We begin this series not as individuals who know all the answers, but as students still on the quest for godly counsel, as well as individuals with something to contribute. Rachel and I and Tiffany would like to encourage you to call in to express your comments, questions, or personal experience. We want to celebrate victorious moments. If you have a victorious moment, please call in. We want to relish in your praise reports, and we want to soothe, uplift, and encourage those still in the midst of their trauma. This show is about the power of Jesus Christ, revealed through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, let the conversation begin. I first want to just start out our program introducing these two wonderful ladies that I have with me. I'm so blessed to just know like-minded individuals. Many of you out there that are believers, you know how difficult it is to find like-minded believers. These two women, we all not only share the same sort of experience in regards to separation and divorce, but we are sisters in Christ, and we share our love of him. I'd first like to introduce my co-host, Rachel Kidder. Yay! Boop, boop, boop! Rachel, I have to give a little shout-out. Rachel is the author of Healing. You know I love you. Rachel is the author of Healing Grace Scripture Journal. the 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. Oh, I just, to me, emotional healing tugs at my heart because I struggled emotionally. I love this book. Those of you that call in today, those of you that call in and request this book, I want to just let you know we are giving this book away for this series. It is a wonderful book. I don't know about anyone out there, but sometimes there's so much emotions going on that it's good to journal. It's good to get it down, but it's also good to sort of to have scripture along with it. So you're meditating on that and you're working through the scripture and God's giving revelation. So Rachel, she is the author of this book. She is also, if you want to check her out while we are having this discussion today, you want to go to her website / blog at www.revivehouse.com. Love that. We all need to be revived. I don't care if you're years past getting a divorce and you found your balance. We all need revival. All of us still need that and replenishment and restoration. So definitely check out her website. We also have here with us Tiffany Lene. She is the founder of The Village, an evangelistic as well as mission-driven music ministry that bridges together the unchurched. I love that. The lost and found in order to win souls for Christ. I love this. She also spearheads a nonprofit organization called Jade. Just a Diva Encouraging. That's what that is. Just a Diva Encouraging. This ministry is birthed in order to help women in need. And you can reach out to her on social media. She is on Facebook. She's also on Instagram. So these are the ladies that we have with us today. Please know, folks, that this show is for the healing of men as well as women. So please keep that in mind. Rachel, I wanted to kind of pose this to you because we are going to be using, as you know, the Divorce Care Manual as the centerpiece, as the controlled book or manual as we go through this series, as well as the Bible. Sometimes it's very difficult for people to just pick up the Word of God and get their healing and get understanding. And it's just great to have an aid in regards to helping them through this troubled time. But I'd like to start off, in case people do not know that are listening to the show today, what is divorce care and why is it so beneficial?
Well, divorce care is a support group, a Christian-based support group for men, for women that have been separated, divorced. You don't have to be divorced to go. You don't have to even have faith in the Lord to go, because we are all, you know, going through this. We are in the same, you know, very tough road. And, you know, the support group is here to just help each other, to hear stories. It's a 13-week session, and each session is about 2 hours, which includes a video. There's group discussion, and there's also a workbook that you can take home and like, utilize that as well. And I have to say, I did divorce care twice on my own for my own healing, and it was instrumental to that healing. Not only did I learn so much from other people, because you walk your own certain path, you know, and that's all you know. But with divorce care, you get to sit down with people that have gone through, you know, the other side, things that you haven't experienced, things that you have experienced. You get to really see the full spectrum of what people are going through, and ultimately that you're not alone, regardless of your story, regardless of what happened, you know, we're hurt, you know, and you get to heal along with these people. You don't have to say a word while you're there, or you can just be raw and out there and say whatever you need to and feel to. But whatever is going to help in your healing and aid in your healing, just that's what it's there for. And I am blessed to say that I initially went about 6 years ago, and I'm still friends with some of those people that I went there with. And it's unknown who you're going to meet. It's unknown how big that group is going to be. It could be two. It could be a dozen. You don't know. It could be all women, men, or a mixture. You don't know. But what we do know is that before my, you know, each session that starts, we pray that the Lord just brings the right people there at the right time, you know, who is going to be the most beneficial for each person. And it's just a blessing. And it's non-judgmental. And that's so important. Mm. because sometimes I was the lever, and that's very hard to deal with. But there was no judgment in it. So regardless of your story, what happened, what didn't happen, whatever, you know, they're there for support and for love and for help. And it was a blessing.
Rachel, I love that. I just, you know, you describing it again, just it really makes me feel comforted. It just makes me feel so warm and comforted. And I remember the Lord blanketing me. Folks, if you're out there listening, I'd love to encourage you to go online. Google is the way these days, but even if you have a friend that's sort of helping you because you don't have the strength to actually just pick up and sit up and go on a computer, have someone check out perhaps a divorce care. As you heard Rachel say, you don't even need to be a believer to go. You could be agnostic, atheist. You can be anything. But this group, what brings people together is the pain and wanting to get through that separation and divorce in a structured way, in a way that you actually don't think you know you're crazy in your mind. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm crazy. But it actually puts an understanding to it all. You get better understanding. And then another important fact that Rachel mentioned was you don't have to talk if you don't want to. I know many of you out there listening, you're scared because I don't want to go to a group. I got to introduce myself. I got to act sociable. Mm. Not here.
You have to be
vulnerable.
You don't
have to do that. Yeah. It's not about, where you live, all those questions that sometimes make you feel like you're being put in a box. Not divorce care. It's, they're very sensitive to you being sensitive. But to hear the other stories, I think that's wonderful. Well, as we speak about stories, I have to introduce Tiffany Lene. And Tiffany, you have a story. You were on Dovetails in February of this year, and you're just a tremendous, first of all, an overcomer, a solid, centered woman of God. And you bring another piece, you bring another perspective to this show. And if you could just briefly, for those of us that might have missed the show in February, and to just give us a snippet about what happened in your life and your marriage.
Sure. Thank you so much, Deborah, for having me back on the show. I'm certainly honored to be having this conversation with you and Rachel. And for those who may not have been able to listen to the show when I was on it previously, I spoke about my experience having come from a very religious background, however, still finding myself in an abusive relationship turned marriage. And for 5 years, almost 5 years, I was married and decided to, after so much torture, one night I decided to pack a bag with my son and flee the marriage. And from there, I started over. I literally started my life over, literally starting from scratch, if you will, with everything. I found myself homeless with my son, but I preferred being homeless with my son than to be in an abusive marriage. And but even in that time, just allowing myself to be restored, allowing myself to the healing process, to go through the grieving of having lost everything. During that process of separation and having my son, we both essentially having to start over. It was really important for me to go and get the healing and the resources that I needed. I did take part in counseling, and so did my son. And so over a course of a year, the separation became an official divorce, and God, through his infinite grace, allowed me to be able to fully be recovered and restored. But I'm just so grateful to be standing on the other side, fully restored. Fully restored.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Your testimony is riveting and powerful and complicated and triumphant. And I know that those of you out there that are listening, you also have a testimony that is complicated and tumultuous and confusing. I hope you heard the word flee. Some of you out there are fleeing where you're at because there's you know now with what you've endured, you cannot stay there. It's hard when you love someone to leave. It does something to the mind. And I remember the Lord laid on my heart when he had to remove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Those of you out there listening, do you know how hard it was for God to do that?
Mm-hmm.
How hard it was for God to say, you got to go or I have to leave.
Yeah.
It's not an easy decision. But today is about choosing the hard yes. Choosing the hard yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's many of you out there listening today. I hope you're hearing the diversity in this panel because you're suffering. You have to flee. Maybe you've married your spouse for the wrong reason, men or woman listening today.
Mm-hmm.
And you too have to choose the hard yes. You too have to do what God had to do right from the word go.
Yeah.
But God did not change. God said, I still love you. I still care for you. I'm not encouraging people out there to still love your spouse. What I'm encouraging is God said, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
God said, I know the plans I have for you, but he can't make your plans.
Yes.
You have to do that.
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, so yes. I want to read over some statistics before we kind of go into this segment of just a discussion of emotional and the ball that we're going to discuss. 41% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. I read these statistics. It's not to discourage you from getting remarried because God knows I'm going to get remarried in Jesus' name. He knows this. But
amen.
But what I want to just say is that in the event that you're looking to get remarried, you got to tune into this program. You got to hear, because if you hear already all the different things that can happen, the emotional ball that you can be in, you cannot go into another marriage bringing that with you.
Mm-hmm.
People say all the time that they want a 50-50 relationship. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want 100%, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
50% means that I need you to fill my cup. And a relationship built on need is tiresome. So I read those statistics not to discourage you, but to encourage you to get self-healing, to encourage you to do self-inventory, to encourage you to want to be whole before you add someone to your roster, before you go back down that aisle. And the only way to get whole again, the only way that I know how to get whole again, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, is to become and to have that union, to know where my source and my strength come from. So with that being said, before we go forward, I wanted to do an exercise with everyone that's listening. Get out your pens and pads. You know me by now. So get out your pen and pad. And what I want you to do is just during the show, and we'll remark on this later. All of us, Tiffany and Rachel and I, will all have something to say going down. But we want you to initially, for this exercise, to write down a list of things or people that your life revolves around. So example for that could be your job, could be children, could be your house, could be financial resources, it could be a spouse. Just whatever it is, just jot those things down. And be honest about what you're jotting down. Like, don't try to get a right answer. It's got nothing to do with right. Just jot those things down, and we'll go back to that in a moment. So what we're going to talk about, as I said, the divorce manual is going to be our controlled state, our controlled manual for this series, along with the Bible. So we're really going to be referring to that a lot. And today, again, we're talking about the effects of divorce. Divorce, again, the emotional instability. Sometimes your energy is very low during divorce. You probably feel drained, a lot of stress and anxiety. You can't function, confusion. You're asking questions like, why doesn't the pain end? Why do I still love my ex? And why don't I feel relief? One thing that we start to do, I think, as we go through, the healing process, you don't even know when it's happening. That's why I think it's important to keep God in the center. You need to keep Christ in the center, because if you're trying to say, you focus in on one particular thing, then you kind of get off. A lot of you out there, you're listening today, you're denying that you're hurting. You're trying to leap over it. You don't want to go through it. So you kind of look and you're in denial. You're like, oh, no, so what? I didn't care. No, he didn't affect me. She didn't affect me. But they did. And then one other thing you're starting to do is start new relationships. We're going to talk about that today. Let's go through the emotional wheel. Rachel, maybe you can chime in. You know our favorite emotional wheel. Some things that are – list some of those things that are on that emotional wheel, and kind of maybe, just give us some of your experience as to how that wheel plays such a role in what – and how we act.
Sure. Well, with the whole grieving process, there are a ton of different emotions, anxiety that you could go through, rage. You can feel betrayed, helpless, just resentment over the situation, loss, because, of all the things that you've lost with just one, with getting separated or divorced. And all of those things, and there's even a picture of it, is centered around the word denial. Mm. So it's one of those things you have to, we're going to go through many of these emotions. Sometimes people won't go through all of them, but it's one of those things you're recognizing that, yes, my situation is happening, and it's hard, and I'm going through these things, because it's one of those things you can't push it down. You can't deny that it's happening. In order to heal, you have to let those things, as hard as it can be, come up. You have to recognize, I am so depressed. I don't know how to function. How can I do this? Because you do feel lost. And I think it's just accepting the reality of that loss, accepting the reality of those emotions. And when you work through those certain things, you're not going to know, take it anger. It could be a situation that shouldn't even make you angry, but it's coming up out of nowhere, and it's so confusing. But it's important to know that all these things are normal. Mm-hmm. And like Deborah said, you could feel like you're losing your mind, because so many things in a matter of an hour, you could feel five different emotions, and you're like, what is this, and why is this happening? But I think there's just so with the fact that there is so much loss and so much hurt and so much change, that those things do come up. And as hard as it can be, don't be surprised that, in the middle of your work day, something could surprise you and some emotion could come up that you're just like, oh, why is this happening right now? So, I think that's what's very hard, is that you get into a very lonely place. Like, this is not happening to anybody else but me. This is horrible, but really it's happening to so many people. And there's a lot of people working through these things at the same time, because, with separation and divorce, in an instant, there's loss. In an instant, there's change. And it's almost one of those things you kind of have to, step up to the gate and say, okay, I'm ready. What do I do? And at least that's the situation that I was in. And a lot of times when these emotions come up, it throws you off, because you're almost immobilized. I can't function. I couldn't wake up. That's how I was. I was so utterly filled with anxiety and depression. I slept, worked, came home, ate, slept. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the energy for anything else, because when you go through so much like that, it does affect your body. It does affect your adrenaline and how much you're able to do, because your body's putting so much effort into these crazy emotions that are coming up that, you know, it takes away from other parts of your body. It takes away from your health, from your healing, from so many things. So when this process first starts, like she said, you feel like you're really losing your mind. But don't lose heart, because, again, you're not alone in this. And there are many people going through this. And each day, it may seem like you're taking 100 steps back and falling on your face. But really, there are moments where I feel like I'm taking 4 steps back, but then you take 5 steps forward. So even though it's a little bit forward, even if you have to crawl,
try
to pay attention to those good things. Try to pay attention to those even the tiny steps that you take that will take you a little bit farther than you were the day before or the week before. And not every day is going to be a great day, but it's so important to, I encourage you to write a journal. And to journal, even if you write one word, this day, horrible. This day was terrible. But the next day, this day wasn't so bad. And then as a year goes by, you get to look back at those days and say, wow, throughout this whole year, I really was getting better, but it wasn't easy for me to see. Because when you're in the midst of it, it's overwhelming and it's consuming. So
I'm telling you, you said some powerful things, Rachel. And I appreciate the sensitivity to those out there that are going through it as we are talking. People that are confused about what they're feeling. I want to read again before we sort of have Tiffany chime in as well. Again, this diagram, folks, that we are looking at, it's a ball, and it's called a tangled ball of emotions. A tangled ball of emotions. No wonder we feel crazy. No wonder. I mean, you're feeling anxiety and confusion. It's funny because Rachel just said she felt anxious and depressed. Isn't that bizarre? Right? Like anxious and depressed. I was having panic attacks. And I just, you can't grasp what's happening. And your mind's going in all these different avenues. Tiffany, Rachel said something that was, again, that denial, I can't believe that this is happening. Talk to us about your tangled ball of emotions, because both of you had children or have children. So there's just that another added piece, going along with trying to figure out what you're going to do in general, but then you have a child that's there. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, the decision was probably harder because I had a child, because, my thinking was I grew up in a two-parent household. I wanted to be sure that my son grew up in a two-parent household, but this just wasn't the right two-parent household. It wasn't a conducive environment for him to be in an abusive situation. So in leaving, though, it did definitely create challenges with him. He actually had experienced some developmental delays. He was almost 4 at the time when we left, and he wasn't talking. We couldn't really understand what he was saying. It was just a bunch of jargon. So for me, not only did I have to navigate all the pain and the emotions of the divorce, I did have to make sure that he was getting the proper care that he needed. And, he had to get several evaluations. But thankfully, as the year went on, his language started to come in, and we could, he was able to articulate himself, as the months went by. And, but it was the challenge was, you're starting your life over, you have a child, but that child still has another parent. And, then there's a child custody situation that comes into play. Well, who gets custody of the child? So having to go through separation, divorce, child custody, all at the same time while making sure that my son gets proper evaluations and also making sure that he got counseling. It was important for me to make sure that he was processing everything that was happening because, I mean, you know, when you go through a divorce, the child feels some of the same things that you feel. They feel the loss, but they just, it manifests in different ways. And I remember there was a session that my son was in. It was actually a speech therapy session. And one of the things that they had him do was to paint. And he painted a portrait, and they asked him what the portrait was about. And there was a painting of myself, his dad, and also my dad. And he, it was just so almost eerie that he would, that's how he was processing the divorce, that his his mom and dad, he would paint a picture of us, and then also my dad. So, and it was just amazing that, you know, he would paint something like this, but it also showed me that that's how he was processing what was going on in his mind. So, yeah, it is a lot. It is, it's a lot to go through, and I can attest to everything that Rachel said about the emotional aspect of not really feeling like you can do anything. And I know during that time I felt really stressed, like this agonizing just stress that I just overwhelmed me, almost consumed me at times. And you know, when you are married to someone, you become one with that person. And so when you're separating and divorcing that person, you're almost like you can feel that pain physically, the pain of the separation. Like you're separating, you're having to break away from becoming one again. And I know I definitely can recall that there was a lot of agonizing stress that I felt. And, you know, some days I just, you know, wanted to sleep, but as Rachel said, you still have to just keep going. And I also journaled throughout the entire time of from the day I left up until at least a whole year. I, you know, writing is something that's very therapeutic for me, and it allows me to really just pour everything that's, you know, in inside of me out. So I thought that journaling was one of the most powerful tools that, you know, I was able to use during that time. You know, it really allows you to get all of your emotions out, and it allows you to process it. Maybe, I mean, I had counseling as well, but I think journaling was maybe even a little more powerful than the counseling, because it really allowed me to just say whatever I needed to say and to process that. So, but just to speak about how it affects you when you have children. So going through a child custody battle, especially under the circumstances that were in my marriage, it was quite challenging because I did not trust him to be around my son without supervision. So we went from having supervised visitation to just gradually giving him more supervision as he was ordered to do domestic violence classes and do counseling as well. So it's just something that you have to take into consideration too, because, you know, and another thing, I was wanting to make sure that my son didn't feel like he was the reason why we decided to divorce. That was something I was very adamant about. And though he was so young when it happened, as he got older, you know, I would try to explain it in a way that he could understand, because he would ask, he's like, well, Mommy, why are you and Daddy not living together anymore? And just said, you know, son, this is not your fault, but it's just something we just couldn't work things out. And it was just very important for him, for me, to ensure him that he was not the reason why we got a divorce. And that, you know, I was going to be the best mom that I could be, and I was going to make sure that he was safe. But then also I was going to make sure that as it became safer, that he could also have a relationship with his dad. So those are the things that those are some of the things I had to go and through during that time.
I'd say both of you have had children or have children, and I don't have children. And I'm listening to both of you, and those of you out there that are listening, can you imagine as you're going through your divorce to have a child that you also need to take care of? I mean, just the custody battle that Tiffany is speaking about, I couldn't even right now, and I think to myself, that this is the mercy of the Lord, of course, because I wanted children and I didn't have them. But when I think about both of you having to think about that, having to worry about that on top of figuring out the emotional ball, I just that alone just makes me go right to the ground. I can't even. Folks, those of you out there that are listening, if you're tuning in now, we are in the third broadcast of our six-month series on separation and divorce. We're so happy to have you. Please feel free to call in to share your story at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. I wanted to add that there's three levels of stress. There's one called positive stress. I know many of you out there probably say that sounds crazy, but not all stress is horrible. Sometimes you have positive stress, and that's the type of stress that encourages you to move forward, that encourages you to strive. You know, sometimes you're in a situation, maybe you're at a job and you want to get promoted, and you know that there's other candidates that are absolutely wonderful for the position as well. Yes, it feels stressful because you want the promotion, but it's actually a positive stress. Keep in mind, all stress, whether it's positive, the next is tolerable stress, the next is toxic stress. All stress, actually, it needs a positive person in your life that's always keeping it less stressful. All of these types of stress are supposed to actually have, if you're a child, then your parent is there. If you are a person, maybe you have friends, your church, your pastor, your teachers. So keep that in mind, that any level of stress, it still needs to be accompanied by someone that is pouring back into you. This is where, and the difference between the stress is that tolerable stress, it is only tolerable because you have a support system. That's why it's called tolerable stress. That none of these levels of stress are meant to be a long period. And so what happens is when a child or a spouse, any level of your life, any phase, any season of your life, when you are enduring stress of such a high magnitude and you have no support system, this is where it becomes toxic. This is toxic stress. And what happens is the long-term effects from toxic stress, you have hair falling out, you have cancer, you have all sorts of things as a result to long-term toxic stress. And so it is important to, you know, sometimes we can get off center and we can say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. But everyone moves at their own pace. And I say that because God, the invitation is already there. God's just, you know, say yes. Listen to these ladies today as they pour their hearts out with what they've gone through. Tiffany is fleeing a situation. Rachel is going through all these things, the emotional things, these rage and anger. And, you know, we are not meant to deal with that alone. Maybe you don't have a spouse. Maybe you don't have children. Maybe you don't have grandmother or parents that are supporting you, but you have Christ. Let him be your support group. Gravitate towards a divorce care so you can get that love and that nourishment and the word of God, frankly, inside of you, so that you are not going through this alone. And the other thing I wanted to remark on, which is what Tiffany was speaking about, those of you that have children, I wanted to you know, just read the scripture very, very quickly. Mark 9:42. It says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him or her to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his or his neck. I'm mentioning that not to scare you or make you having to think about something else. But what Tiffany did and what Rachel did within their separation and divorce, they had to stop for a moment crying and think about the best avenue for the child. And for me, this scripture speaks to that. God is saying children are precious. And I've given this child to you. Again, this situation is heartbreaking. But we have to compartmentalize and say, what am I going to do for this child? Did you hear Tiffany say she got counseling for the child? Many of you out there, you're going through your separation and divorce, but you're actually not thinking of anything. I'm telling you, divorce care can help you navigate. Journaling can help you navigate. So I hope you're hearing that today as we crawl our way through this series. And then another footnote, I live in Pennsylvania. If anyone lives in Pennsylvania and you're listening to this broadcast, Pennsylvania has 67 counties. And their criteria for, you know, getting a custody date, you know, you have to submit a form. I know, again, you know, those of you that have people out there that are supporting you and that can help navigate this, that you have to submit a form and then a date for that mediation will follow. So those are just some nuggets for anyone that's listening. And we're going to take a really, really short break. But when we come back, I wanted to talk about revenge. I wanted to talk about anger, and I wanted to talk about bitterness. So thank you so much for tuning in. We have more for you folks, and we will be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yeticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yeticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Mr. Soul Sam Cooke. You're listening to Dovetails with Deborah Lassiter. There will come a time in life when a change gon' come. Make your change count.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Oh, and we are back. We are back, folks. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Before we head into another week, we are in our third broadcast of a six-month series that Rachel Kidder and I are doing on separation and divorce. We are joined today by a wonderful woman of God, Tiffany Lene. And Tiffany, she is the founder of The Village, an evangelistic as well as a missions-driven music ministry that bridges together the unchurched, the lost, and found in order to win souls for Christ. And we also have, of course, Rachel, sweet Rachel. She is the author of Healing Grace Scripture Journal. It's a 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. And folks, again, if you're just tuning into Dovetails, we are going to be giving away this book for anyone that calls in and even asks for the book. We will give it to you so that it can aid you. It can aid you in your navigation of this horrible time, I'm going to say, earth-shattering time, painful time. Prior to the break, we, you know, did introductions of Rachel and Tiffany, but we really just kind of dug a little bit into this emotional ball, the different phases and the things that we can feel. Prior to us talking about rage and bitterness and anger, I wanted to just sort of cap off what we talked about prior to the break with a scripture. Folks, for me, and I know for Rachel as well as Tiffany, each one of us are rooted in the Word of God, and we know that's where we get our fuel from. We know that that is the source. And so even though we are using the Divorce Care Manual, that is also rooted in Scripture, but most certainly dovetails the Christ-centered show. So, you know, I wanted to just encourage people out there, if you've tried everything, give this a chance. Give this a chance as well. So I needed to read two scriptures, Colossians 3:2, and this has to do with negative thinking. And prior to the break, we were kind of talking about just the negative things, and we're going to continue to talk about that, just how I wake up and negativity is all over my mind. I know it was when I was going through my separation and divorce. But this right here, Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Keep in mind that this is a scripture of instruction. Set your mind. You know how you get in a car and you set the channel to your favorite music station? This is what God is telling us to do here. Set your mind. Whatever temperature you keep your house, set the temperature of what you're going to think about before you head into the day, right? So, you know, most of us jump up and we look at our phone. We know we do Facebook, who's on Twitter, Instagram. We're kind of going through all of that. God says, check in with me. I need you to put on your helmet of salvation right now. I need you to get dressed spiritually and then get dressed physically. And the second scripture is Philippians 4:8, very popular scripture among Christian circles. We need to read it again as just the positive thinking that we need to have. Finally, brothers and sisters, I love that. I love that. Paul is talking to geographically probably Christians that are scattered all over the place. But finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Some of you might, right now, you hear that scripture and you have to stop because maybe you don't know what is right. Maybe you don't know what is noble. You don't know what's admirable. And that's where Rachel and Tiffany and I, we want to sort of direct you. We want to answer your questions, but we want to help you to be able to set your mind on proper things by sharing with you what happened to us. It's a way to say, don't do this. That's what we're trying to say. Don't do that. Don't go there. You know, try to think of this. Let's steer you another way. So with that being said, I will pose the question to either one of you if you want to start. In regards to the rage and the anger, and the Divorce Care Manual just talks about pain cutting so deep and, you know, how anger can simmer under the surface, the bitterness of betrayal, it wrenches inside of you. And so, you know, maybe you can speak to us about that, Rachel or Tiffany.
Sure. I actually, if it's okay, I have a small amount that I wanted to read from the Divorce Care Manual.
Yes.
That they give you on anger. And the title is, My Anger is Justified. And it says, a lot of people think that all anger is wrong, but that's not true. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. The things that disturb God should also bother us because we're created in his image. Here are some things that anger God. And it says hypocrisy, injustice, adultery, violence, disobedience, and breaking promises. So looking at this list, you can see why you should be angry at some of the things your ex has done to you and possibly your children. Just because you're feeling anger, just because your feeling of anger is justified does not mean you're free to respond in any way you'd like. So there is a healthy and righteous anger that is instilled in us that we can have and we should have, but it's taking it to that level that could harm yourself, that could harm other people, that makes you completely out of control, which could worsen situations for yourself, for your kids. So, but it was very healing for me to see that, yes, I can be angry. It's okay to be angry. God was angry. But what is a healthy angry, and how have I gone beyond that? And what do I need to look for to reel myself back in to say, okay, that's not great. If we're having an argument with my ex, you know, is it going to the point where it is too far, where, you know, just so angry that it's getting scary angry? It's okay to say, you know what, we're going to table this conversation and we're going to come back to it at another time because this isn't healthy. So, and sometimes it takes every bit of oomph inside of you to get that, you know, every bit of that strength to be able to do that and say, okay, we're going to walk away and we'll come back to this conversation at another time because this is not healthy right now.
So. I love that. I love that you mentioned that. I mean, it's, you know, I know people out there, you're listening, you're thinking, huh? Like what? I can be angry? I think sometimes we think because we're trying to be better people that we can't actually have the emotion. God says, be angry, but don't sin. It's actually human to have various emotions. I mean, God created us, so we have these emotions. But Rachel, that's an excellent point. You know, I'm thinking of it right now. And those of you out there listening that have healthy marriages or good marriages, this is still good for you to know. You know, Rachel says, table the situation, right? I love that.
It was, Tiffany. And it's very healing to hear that too, because you feel like you're going too far with things, or I shouldn't feel this way. So it's very confirming to feel okay about, you know, feeling that.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because it's like, it's a good reminder, I think, for many of us that are just trying, you know, we're just trying to keep our head above water. I mean, you know, like, I'm just trying to survive here. Tiffany, you know, with your situation, when I think about it, like, did you ever struggle not only with bitterness, but revenge? Just like, and I would say prior to you fleeing, because maybe you were at the point when you flee that it was just like, I need to put that behind me. But within the marriage, like, you know, revenge doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I took out a gun and shot the person, but little things, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, you know, like you're wishing and hoping for something to happen to them. Like, talk to us about that if you experienced that.
Absolutely. I experienced all of that during the marriage. there were times where I just said, I had a lot of anger for myself, too. I was angry that I was tolerating that type of ill treatment, and but I had a lot of anger toward him, that anger was building up. It was definitely to the point that I feel like if I did not leave, something tragic would have happened. So
I'm sorry, I don't know
which
you
movie.
That movie Burn with Farrah Fawcett.
Because when the rage builds up inside of you, you're like, in your mind, you're contemplating, right? You're like, okay, I need to release this rage. So how can I release this rage? My rage had definitely was at the point of boiling over, and I knew that if I did not leave this relationship, something definitely tragic would have happened. If he had tried to hit me or do anything else to me, I certainly would have fought back, and who knows what would have happened. So, but then after leaving, I still felt anger toward myself. I still felt rage toward him because I felt like I wasted so many years of my life and tolerated so much abuse. I personally just wanted him to disappear because now I'm having to deal with a child custody situation. So we're having to go back and forth to court, which is not an agreement at all. So, yeah, I ran the gamut of emotions. Anger, rage, grief, depression, all of it. And but I am telling you, journaling certainly helped me to really get all of that out. I am so grateful that, you know, I was led to journal during that time, because you have to get those emotions out of you. You can't walk around bitter and angry, because it only hurts you in the end, and, you know, potentially your children. You know, I wanted my son to have a positive home environment, but it still wasn't going to be positive if I was walking around bitter and angry. So, and, you know, having all this resentment. So I certainly had to do, you know, take the time to work on my own anger and my resentment and my bitterness toward him and the situation.
I know many of you out there, you are angry right now. You're probably listening to this broadcast fuming, right? Like you're sitting there boiling and bubbling over, just as you can hear. I mean, you think of these ladies' situations and you think of where this is the diversity. This is the gorgeousness of God, that he can help people like myself and Rachel and Tiffany rise above the bitterness, rise above the anger. Folks, we were, again, never meant to do this alone. That's why you have the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power of the Holy Spirit supernaturally allows you to do what you need to do. Tiffany needed the Holy Spirit to help her to leave, to give her the fortitude, the courage. I hope you out there are listening. In Romans 12:19, God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Many of you out there, I know for myself, I'm so ashamed of it, but and the Lord, thank you, Jesus, for just helping me to make my way through. I really wanted something horrible to happen to my ex-husband. I mean, I said to the Lord, I hope he dies. And then when I knew that was wrong, I said, well, can you maim him or something? Do something, you know? And we can chuckle about it. We can laugh about it, because it was like, that's how insane it is that a person can actually want harm done to the person. That's why God says vengeance is his. God forbid if each one of us could do what we wanted to do when we thought we were right about it. And, you know, this on a larger level, you have people that are doing things to others that have power and influence. And look what can happen when we take vengeance in ourselves and have the power and the money. We really have to watch, you know. And I know in the moment when you are blazing, you know, when you are really like, oh, my goodness, and you can't control it because you're so overwhelmed with the anger of what they've done and the injustice, the trespass. That's God says, but I want you to pull back for a moment, because I know the machine they're driving. I know where they came from. I know why your spouse acts the way that they do. Just like God says, I know why Tiffany, Deborah, and Rachel act the way that they do. And is it fair? Ooh. I know that sounds hurtful, but one of God's moral attributes is righteousness and justice. And the meaning of that is it's the aspect of God's holiness seen in the treatment of his creation. So no matter what each one of us were enraged about, God says, I'm justice and righteousness, and I will not let you harm that child because they cheated on you. This is the paradox. This is where, you know, it's very hard to swallow the justice and righteousness of God, but I'm telling you, it's a benefit, because when you get past this, folks, you're going to look back and praise his name. You're going to be so thankful that he's the rock and the refuge and the salvation. Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Girls, for both of you, for, you know, when I think about my anger, I thought about not only that I wanted him to die, horrible, but I also had anger towards his family. I never thought that I would feel that way, but I remember it almost made, they made me feel as if they allowed him to do what he did. My ex-husband had an extramarital affair and then got the woman pregnant. And it was a personal struggle that I had. I say it personal as if no one else has experienced that, but I meant like I wanted children. And so that really, the idea that it was with another woman, and I always wanted a son, and she had a son. And so in one moment, I was at a family gathering, a family reunion, and literally, I think 2 or 3 months later, he showed up with his pregnant mistress at Thanksgiving. And I just remember, like, I thought to myself, wow, how was she able to sit at the table and nobody said anything? But these are the negative thoughts that the enemy had in my mind. I don't know what really happened there. I don't know what his family said to him. But, you know, when they didn't disown him, I think for me, my anger, my rage came about. Like, I wanted them to disown him. Like, I should see him.
How could you still love this person?
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to talk about, and maybe you two can remark on it as well, is the judgment that not only we have, but also friends and family, the judgments that maybe we get from our decisions. I don't know if that means anything, but sometimes the church can judge you. And I'm not talking about that, I don't want to be judged because I wanted something to happen to my ex-husband. That was a segue to just kind of go into the influences that we have in our lives and the friends that we have. Many of you out there, you're listening right now and you're going through all of these different emotions and you are getting advice from so many different people. You're being influenced by so many different environments. You're trying to figure out who you are and what you believe in. And then all of a sudden this judgment comes to you. You know, maybe right now you feel like the victim, but perhaps there's a family member saying, well, I remember when you did this. Girls, let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I can jump right in there. Sure, I really felt, I feel like almost everyone judged me. You know, when you go through an abusive marriage, abusive relationship, you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, why they don't understand the cycle of abuse. So they automatically think, well, she didn't have to stay and tolerate that. Why did she stay for so long? You know, all of those kinds of questions. And I felt like my family judged me. I felt like friends of mine judged me. I certainly lost friends or people that I thought were friends. I judged myself. Like I said, I was really hard on myself for tolerating the abuse. So it made it actually really hard for me to get the help that I needed. And that's another reason why I, you know, perhaps stayed in the marriage for so long. So the judgment, people just don't understand because they're not in the situation with you. They don't understand all of the dynamics of what you're dealing with. And, you know, it's just maybe human nature that people rush to judgment based on, you know, what information they may have, but certainly they don't have all of the information. But now,
I wanted to ask, you know, and I don't want to cut off your train of thought, but for your spouse, you know how sometimes, like, I'll see that maybe a spouse, he's very charismatic or she's very charismatic. And so people that are the onlookers or people that are judging, they're like, why would you, you know, why are you fleeing him? Like, or why are you fleeing her? You know? So, like, was there any of that where this person presented themselves in such a way?
Absolutely. Very charismatic. If you only met him and, you know, just had a simple conversation with him, you perhaps would never think that he would be this other person that was abusive. So, yeah, I'd certainly dealt with that because he was very charismatic and charming and just attractive. So you just don't necessarily think someone like that would be abusive.
That's scary. That's really scary.
Yeah.
Rachel, for you, what sometimes there's judgment. Let's say you make the decision to get separated. You make the decision to get divorced, and someone judges you because they don't think you waited long enough. When is the right time? You know what I mean? Like, who could tell you that it's time?
Exactly. And I think that's what's hard is I got a lot of that. Number one, I was the one that left. My ex-husband is a nice person, but we were both a little broken, but I was very broken. I was broken before I went into it. And we put on a very amazing facade to people while we were married. So when I left, it was like pure outrage at the people that we knew, my family, my friends, and they were like basically disgusted. Like, but again, like Tiffany said, it's like they rush to judgment and they assume that, well, if I was in that situation, you know what I mean? But they're not in that situation. And even looking back, it's confusing, but I was such a broken person. And I asked for to go to get help, and he didn't want to go. And that was kind of almost an invitation, like, well, I give up. You know what I mean? Because I was already on my last leg. So after leaving and hearing what people would say and hearing what my family would say, and they didn't understand, and I didn't even understand myself. So it was very difficult, and I think the biggest judgment that I received was from myself, and that's where the enemy's lies come in, because I thought everybody on the planet was judging me to the point I was embarrassed to say the truth to a lot of people. So I believe I used to work at a bank as a teller at the time, so I believe it was about 6 months that customers come in and say, hey, how's your husband? And I'd say, he's great. And this was after I left, but I just lived in this like whole fairy tale land of everything's wonderful. But I think I was just so hurt at what people had already said. And I was terrified of what people would say. I was scared about how they might react. And I didn't want to make them feel embarrassed for asking, you know, because it's like, oh, how's your husband? Well, we got divorced, you know? But it was a lot of myself. I judged myself, and I judged, and I was angry at myself too. It's like, how could I get this messed up where I ended up leaving the situation? And it was difficult, and it taught me a lot about not jumping to conclusions and not judging people, because you're not in their situation. You weren't there as a child when they went through certain things. You weren't in their marriage. You only see the facade that the married couple allows those people to see. And some are more vulnerable than others. But in my situation, we were genuinely happy a lot of times, but we put on a show that it was just great and nothing was bad. So it was very much a blow when people found out, and I didn't have a lot of self-worth anyways, or love for myself. And the hearing those comments and those hurtful words really brought me to a place that was scary mentally. And but again, it was also a strength builder, because not only did I learn from those things, I learned for myself how I'm going to act to other people.
It's so I'm grateful to be a part of this conversation with you ladies, because it's wonderful to see you on the other side. You know, there was a time that none of us could have spoken about this without bursting into tears. There was a time that we just couldn't even hear the word divorce, or maybe, you know, the financial problems that we have gone through, the emotional grief that we have gone through. And to be able to talk about it today, I never thought I'd be able to talk about it. I never thought I would live through it.
Amen.
And to hear both of you talk, one thing me going through my divorce really cured me on, And, you know, I don't want to put an ED at the end of it because we're always still learning. But I tell you, I bite my tongue as soon as I even think that I can look at someone's life and say, if I was in her shoes, I would have done it this way. Oh, please.
Mm. Amen.
It's like what I learned is emotion changes everything. When you have a cookie cutter scenario, of course, when you're feeling good and riding high, you can make some sort of assessment of what you would and should do. But emotions change everything. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, to hear both of you right now to talk, it makes me feel good. And I'm grateful to be in the midst of you ladies. We're going to take a short break. And folks, please, as you're listening to the show today, I hope you're just pondering on your next moves. I hope you're thinking about things that are pleasing and edifying and positive. I'd love to challenge you today to just, you know, maybe get into a Bible study, have someone take a look, just take a look at what divorce care places in churches or that they're being held and see if you like it. You can go one time and just see if it helps you. We're trying to give you tools for your toolbox, and we hope and pray that you have ears to hear and your heart is open right now. But we're going to take a really, really short break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the unhealthy things we all did when looking to cope. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chats. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cooke. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back, and thank you so much for tuning in to Dovetails. Be sure to tune in with us every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are interested in joining the DCL Ministries movement, go to www.dclministries.com. If you're just tuning in, we are on our third broadcast of our separation and divorce series with my co-host Rachel Kidder, and we have a special guest today, Tiffany Lynette. We're just all talking about the underbelly and the layers of what we've gone through during our separation and divorce. Folks that are listening today, maybe you have a story, maybe you have a comment. Contact us, call in, don't be shy, at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. What we've been doing today, folks, is just talking about that emotional ball that we continue to go through. Even when we are past getting our divorce and healing has happened, we continue to maybe have flashbacks. I know for myself, you know, when I smell a particular type of cologne, I think of my ex-husband. It just happens. Life happens. And we have to find ways to cope. We have to find ways to deal with it. So with that being said, girls, I want to talk about the unhealthy things that we've done and the unhealthy things that we did to cope. I know for me, I loved having a glass of wine, but a glass of wine turned into a bottle of wine, and a bottle of wine turned into I needed wine. And I didn't become an alcoholic, but I just remember feeling like, well, it was two things. It was several things, actually. That and I couldn't sleep. So I was taking Tylenol PM. Now, Tylenol PM can't harm you, but what played in my mind as I got closer to the Lord, as I really sought his face, was the idea that I needed an aid at all. And it toyed with me. It really, in my mind, it was like, I shouldn't need this to go to sleep. Some people react differently. My sister, she went into almost like a coma-like sleep. Hers was, you know, she would get depressed, and depression, she could sleep for 15 hours easily. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, me, I lost my appetite and couldn't sleep. She says she overate and slept. I was like, okay. So, you know, of course, I laugh about it now. But the things that we did to cope. So I remember in that moment, I was determined to confront my strongholds. And I went for 90 days without doing anything. So shopping was another thing that I did. I have so many clothes. I have walk-in closets. It was just insane. And what happened to me was I bought yet another outfit and put it on the hanger to display it in the closet, and the whole closet fell down. I was like, you think I have a problem? So those were just like some of the things. But anyway, for 90 days, I promised the Lord that I would not do any of those things. And I remember it being very difficult. So anyway, I was sharing that to sort of, what were some of the things that you ladies have done as well?
Hi. Yeah, I slept a lot. I definitely recall sleeping a lot. And then I guess I have an issue with sweets. So I would eat a lot of different kinds of sweets. So those are my two things. Yeah.
What about you, Rachel?
I went through a couple different stages. I went through a stage of, I was so anxiety driven. I wanted to sleep, but I'd wake up an hour later and stay awake for hours. So I would take NyQuil upon NyQuil upon NyQuil, which makes you very groggy when you wake up. So it's really difficult to function. And then I went into a stage of, I just slept for hours and didn't want to get up. And I could have laid there for days. One thing that really got me was food. And I overate horribly. I didn't have a lot of money whatsoever. So, of course, it would just be pasta, bread, pasta, anything horrible for me. There was nothing good, and I just ate and I ate and I ate my feelings. And the main thing which really brought me to my knees was I, for many years, confused sex with love. So I would drown out my sorrows with men, with dating. And 2 seconds after I left my ex-husband, I met somebody online, and we were dating, and about 6 months in, a absolutely terrible situation happened, which brought me to a suicidal point in my life, which is where I gained my relationship with the Lord. But I always had this feeling of, I can't be alone. You know, I don't want to be alone. That's how I healed. I kind of pushed it below and pushed it deep inside of me, and I focused all of my energy on somebody, not on my own self, not on my healing. Of course, I would focus on my daughter too, but it would always be, oh, I'm in love, you know, or this person's talking to me, and that was love to me. Sex was love to me. So I was detrimental to me was not allowing myself to be alone and to know myself and to heal. And that was, yeah, that was the biggest thing, was not being alone. And
so
I didn't know the Lord enough to make him my everything. So,
oh my, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was one of the lessons that I learned. I went into a relationship, not immediately after, but after, to the point where that relationship hurt me more than the marriage did. And I just was like, it was horrible. I felt like I went through two divorces.
Yeah.
I mean, and,
right.
And I, no, it's like, I love deeply. So it's sort of, you know, whether it was, whether I comprehended what love was is another point, but you know, you just, like you said, they're filling a void and you're putting all the eggs, as they say, in one basket, and you're hoping and praying that it will work out. And it's like, it, you know, I remember Holy Spirit had brought me to a section in the Bible, and this is where the Israelites, of course, we know the Israelites are God's firstborn. And in that scene, you know, the Israelites, they're in the land of Canaan, and they're looking around at their enemy and how all of them have kings and they don't have a king. And they beg Samuel, the prophet, to give them a king. And Samuel was so upset. He was like, look what God has done for you. And, you know, you want a king. And God talked with Samuel and said, keep in mind, I know you're upset, but they rejected me, not you. And so at that point, that's where Saul gets appointed as king. And God says, give them who they want, but warn them that with a king comes slavery. With a king comes, you know, all of a sudden you have, you know, status in regards to wealth or poverty. And you have all these things that come from having a ruler over you. And we know today, whether you have a monarchy or you have a democracy, whether you have communists. So, you know, you see all these different ways. And I remember Holy Spirit said to me, as a result, I want you to understand, never put a man where God's supposed to be. Never do it.
Wow.
And, you know, that to me was so powerful. It doesn't mean don't have a man. It doesn't mean, for those of you out there listening, don't find another wife. What he's saying is don't put a person where God's supposed to be. That God should be that center. That's why he says, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all other things will be added. It will be added. But there's a proper sequence of where it should be in your life. Thank you for bringing that up, because a lot of people listening today are trying to find love in through sex, or like you said, they're giving me attention, so they must be it. They're talking to me in general, they must be it. So I thank you for bringing that up. Tiffany, did you want to add anything, or?
Oh, no, I did. I can recall getting into a relationship like right after the divorce, but I probably ended up hurt.
Oops, I think we're having a bit of a technical difficulty, but just still tune in, folks. We're just having a little technical difficulty. Rachel, you're there, correct? So, folks, if you're just tuning in, we are interviewing, we're actually not interviewing, we're having a discussion with special guest Tiffany Lene, as well as my co-host Rachel Kidder, and we've just been going through the tumultuous time of dealing with divorce and dealing with separation. And many of you out there, you have all these strange coping mechanisms, you have these things that you're doing in order to cope. And Tiffany was just expressing maybe what she was actually going through in order to cope. Tiffany, did you want to continue?
Yeah, so I was just saying that I did enter a relationship right after the divorce, but I ended up doing the hurting. I ended up hurting the guy that I was in the new relationship with, because things just started to move really fast, and oh, I was certainly not going to get married right away again. So it just became an on-again, off-again relationship until we finally just broke up. But unfortunately, I feel like I was the one that did the hurting because I just don't think I was ready to be in a relationship at all.
Mm. It's just tough. It's just tough going through all of it. That's why we're doing this series, because there's so many layers. There's so many turns that everybody can make. There's so many different things that people can be doing. And, you know, that's why this discussion, everybody communicating, sharing your story, what you went through, what you've learned from what you've been going through. Rachel, it sounded like you wanted to add something.
Well, I was just thinking about things, because we spoke about things that, you know, unhealthy things. You might have been even getting to that, but what are some things that you
you know me
did?
So well.
Yeah, to help in your healing, to, you know, little tools or little tricks and healthy ways that you guys, that we worked through it.
No, it's and folks, none of us on this panel today, none of us talking today, we are not an aficionado on separation and divorce. We are still in many ways healing because God, you know, the parts of us that we didn't even know were there, God is still healing. We're still becoming whole, and we will continue to do that till our eyes close, until we pass away. The point of us trying to give you better tools is so that you can make better decisions, you can make better choices. I'm a firm believer that we go through so much in this world, bad and good happen to everyone. So, you know, understand, just because someone is a Christian doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean that they're not blemished. It doesn't mean that they're walking with, you know, white robes and the Bible in their hand. You know, we need to dispel some of these misconceptions on what it means to actually be in Christ. And that's why, you know, as I opened the show to speak about that, it's in Christ we're seen as righteous, that we have to keep moving. Romans 8:29 says, those that he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the likeness of his son, so that, that's a purpose-driven statement, so that he could be the firstborn, he meaning Christ, the firstborn of all brothers and sisters. That's what we're striving towards, is to really begin to make choices that show God we trust him. And sometimes by making choices to show God we trust him, we must choose the hard yes. We must choose the hard yes. I know that sounds so difficult right now. But sometimes, you know, one thing my sister always said to me, do not make decisions out of your emotion. I remember she told me, I was like, I'm filing for a divorce. But she knew in the tone that I was saying it, that it wasn't a peaceful decision. She said, That's fine, you want to do that. What I'm saying is wait 6 months. For her to even tell me to wait 6 months, I almost passed out on the floor. Like, finally I get to the point that I want a divorce, and now she's telling me to wait, because she was smart enough to discern the situation, that you're going to regret making that decision if it's not in peace and if it's not in alignment with what the Lord wants you to do. Just wait. There's wisdom in waiting. There's wisdom in it. And I'm saying, in the event that you don't know. But also, I also believe no one can tell you when you do know. You have to wrestle that out with the Lord. Just as Jacob wrestled with God, you too have to wrestle. Because once you do know, then you can make better choices. I heard yesterday someone say knowledge is power. It's a statement that we hear, I've heard so often, and I can say I've always agreed with it. But when I heard it yesterday, I was like, I don't believe knowledge is power. There's so many people that know, but they don't do better. It doesn't matter that you know. What are you actively doing? I know I need to leave this toxic relationship. I haven't acted on it. I have knowledge, but I haven't executed the power. I'm not walking with the authority of Jesus Christ in me. I asked many of you to list when we started this show, you know, just things that your life is centered around. Maybe some of you have listed your spouse. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your friends. It's those things that you hold dear and center into your life. And in the divorce care manual, it talks about how solid is your center? How solid is it? You can hear today that by our testimonies and what Tiffany has gone through and what Rachel has gone through, we all tried to put something in our center. It wasn't solid, right? Like we couldn't walk on it. It wasn't a foundation. Christ used this example when he was talking with his disciples, you know, that the foundation was so important, and he asked them to weigh the cost. Because whatever you put in the center, I hope you can stand on it. I hope you can build from it. But understand that any choice that we make in our lives, there's always going to be a consequence, good or bad. And I'm saying that because the world views things in a particular way. And God's people view things in a particular way. And a decision that you might make in your life might not come into congruence with the world. But you still must hold steady. That the Lord will bring you through this storm, that he will carry you, and you will make it. And I want to read from the divorce care manual. Most things in your life can disappear. So whatever you have in your list, a husband or wife can leave the marriage or die. Your financial conditions can suddenly change. Possessions break, rust, and wear out. Your health can deteriorate. When these things happen, you lose what you had been relying on for your stability. As a result, your orbit will detabilize, sending your life into an emotional tumble. In the end, only one thing is permanent, your relationship with God. If you have one, cannot be taken away, because this relationship with God is so critical to your stability. It's important to know for sure that you have the kind of relationship with him that will ensure he is permanently in the center of your life. Before I close the show, I want to ask Tiffany and Rachel if you just had anything that you wanted to add. Rachel, we'll start with you. Just anything to add before we close out.
I would just have to say to just have some grace for yourself, towards yourself and your healing. And, you know, you're doing the best that you can with the tools that you have, which the tools that you have are very new to you. So just have some grace, and it might seem like it's taking forever, but really it's going at the pace that it needs to go at. You know, you need to go at it's not a race to the finish, because then you miss those moments that you really needed to heal. So it's just, you know, take it day by day and step by step. And it's okay if you're, like I said before earlier, if you're crawling through each day, you're still moving forward. And also to just keep going. You know, don't give up. You know, fill your mind with positivity, with positive, you know, movies, positive books, self-help things that are really going to, like, build you up in a really healthy and positive way, and just keep your mind in a place of just, you know, of healing. And again, that can be slow. It took me a year and a half to read a book when I first found this amazing book. It took me so long, but I finished it. And just, you know, I tried. And that was the main thing, is just try. Just keep going. Just keep taking those steps forward. And like you said, and there's a lot to, you know, you could think about doing a ton of things, but you need to move your feet. You need to put action to it. You need to just try and make that choice. God gave us free will. So make that choice to really to love yourself and want to heal and be in a place where God wants you to be.
Oh, I praise the Lord for you. I love that. You just, again, you have that way to be able to say in a soothing manner what we all need to hear and what we all need to be reminded of. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for just joining me on this journey, joining me in this series. Folks, if you have not gone on her website, you need to go to her website, www.revivehouse.com. I'm going to say it again because I like saying it, www.revivehouse.com. It's her website/blog. You can read some wonderful things there just to be encouraged and uplifted and motivated. And then also, folks, if you are looking for a journal book, maybe you haven't started to journal, but by listening to this program, you've been inspired to say, you know what, I don't feel like talking to people. I don't have it in me. I don't want to be around anyone. I'm going through a tough time right now. And, you know, listening to people just upsets me more. This is a great, great book to get. Again, if you know, you can call in, you can message me on Facebook, you can message me on LinkedIn or Instagram. Feel free to do so as you're listening today. Maybe right now you're feeling resistant, like I don't need help. But if you want to message me, we still can get a book out to you. Please, www.dclministries.com. And again, Rachel has penned, it's called Healing Grace Scripture Journal, 30-day Bible study journal for emotional healing. I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. It's also going to just give you scriptures to look at. Feel free when she actually mentions a scripture to go to that in the Bible and maybe read that scripture within context. I know that you will be blessed. And then also, I'd love to thank Tiffany Linne for being our special guest today, for joining us. Again, Tiffany, she is the founder of The Village and Evangelistic, as well as a missions-driven music ministry that bridges together the unchurched, the lost and found in order to win souls for Christ. She also has spearheaded a nonprofit organization called JADE, Just a Diva Encouraging Ministry. And this ministry was birthed in order to help women in need. You can contact Tiffany through social media. She is on Facebook. She's on Instagram. She's on LinkedIn. So feel free to contact her. I wanted to end this episode. There's a song that I just absolutely love. And it's called The Way, and it's by Pat Barrett. It's just a beautiful song that I think would just summarize kind of what we talked about today, but also something inspirational to spur you forward, to help you know that you're not alone and that the sovereignty of God is in your life, that you can never make a decision that's out of His will. God will always take what is bad and turn it into good. So that being said, I'm going to read again, The Way by Pat Barrett. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are a provider. Oh, you are protector, and you are the one I love. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too. Because they cannot stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I am set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too. Because they can't stay long when I'm here. Because I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. Until next time, please, please keep sharing your dovetail. And God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.